From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
Because Donald Trump is alive, and thank God he is, you look incompetent. If Donald Trump had been killed, you would have looked culpable. Not only should you resign, if you refuse to do so, President Biden needs to fire you. Because his life, Donald Trump's life, and all the other people which you protect are at risk because you have no concept of the aspect that the security footprint needs to be correlated to the threat.
That was Chairman of the House Intel Committee, Chairman Mike Turner, at today's hearing on the July 13th assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. Thanks for tuning in to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. We're going to get a read on today's oversight hearing from Missouri Congressman Eric Burleson, a member of the committee, in just a moment. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle took full responsibility for the agency's failure.
The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency.
So, what does that mean? What will come next? We'll talk with former Secret Service agent Tim Miller about how the agency should respond based upon today's hearing. Of course, the big news this weekend, which was not really a surprise.
Today, he's made a very difficult decision in the best interest of our nation to continue serving as president, to continue rolling up his sleeves and tackling the challenges that still lie ahead of us in the next 6 months, but to step aside in terms of the nomination of my party for president in order to make certain that Donald Trump is not returned to the White House.
That was campaign co-chair of the Biden-Harris campaign, Senator Chris Coons, yesterday on CBS News. So how will this process work? We'll explore that question with Phil Klein, director and founder of the Amistad Project, associate professor of law at Liberty University and former attorney general for Kansas. And news from Friday that has, it's been forgotten.
To be clear, it was not a cyber attack. It wasn't anything related to that. It was a content bug or update that we sent out that we identified and we rolled back.
That was CEO of CrowdStrike, George Kurtz, on CNBC on Friday discussing the global outage of communication systems that grounded planes, shut down healthcare, and disabled some 9/11 systems. Now, there is no evidence to suggest that this was intentional, from what I've seen, but it does expose vulnerabilities that need to be addressed. And with the news of President Biden stepping aside, it's been lost in the headlines. But we're going to talk with Congressman Mike Collins, who's a member of the Science and Technology Committee and has oversight of this sector of the economy. The website, TonyPerkins.com, lots of resources there for you. But there are more resources available for you at the Stand Firm app. If you've not yet downloaded the Stand Firm app, I encourage you to do so. Go to the App Store and download Stand Firm. All right, in the days since the assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump, when an armed shooter shot the Republican nominee for president and multiple bystanders from the distance of over 150 yards, troubling reports continue to emerge regarding the U.S. Secret Service and its ability to achieve its mission. As we mentioned earlier today, the House Oversight and Accountability Committee heard testimony from the Secret Service Director, Kim Cheadle, following a congressional subpoena to compel her to attend before the committee. And now there are many calls from Congress for her resignation. So what did we learn from today's hearing? Joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Eric Burleson. He serves on the House Oversight and Accountability Committee, the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and the Committee on Education and the Workforce. He represents the 7th Congressional District of Missouri. Congressman Burleson, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tony.
So today's hearing has been scheduled since last week. Obviously, President Biden's decision to step aside yesterday has overtaken much of the news cycle. Your thoughts first on the president stepping aside and how that's become the focus of the news.
Yeah, I think it was long overdue. It's something that we have been, we have all, the American people have been watching his decline for the last 3.5 years, if not longer, and yet we've been lied to. I think this is the most, this is the perfect example of a modern day, the emperor has no clothes. And so it just took that debate to demonstrate to the world that that he is clearly not capable for the task. And yet, I think what's interesting about his statement is that he's saying for the good of the Democratic Party, he's going to step aside. But the question is, what's good for the country? I think if he was really thinking about what's best for the country, he would step down altogether, because these next few months, what's abundantly clear is that we have someone who's asleep at the wheel, who's in charge of the most powerful and important position in the world.
Yeah, I do think that's something to be concerned about. I think this puts us in a very vulnerable state when you consider, this is July, election's November, the next administration does not come in till January. So certainly there's something to be praying about here for folks and for Congress to be looking into. Let's move now to the hearing today on the Oversight Committee had regarding the Secret Service and the attempt on former President Donald Trump's life a week ago Saturday. What did we learn from today's hearing?
We didn't learn a whole lot. Honestly, I think the one thing we did learn is that Director Cheadle is grossly incompetent and not capable for the task. Only under the Biden administration can someone perform so poorly and still retain their job. I don't think Biden has fired anyone, even after the awful events after the Afghanistan withdrawal. No one was fired. No, she is not. She's holding on to her position today. And yet previous directors of Secret Service, when assassination attempts have occurred and that was considered a failure, they've resigned. And so she's not willing to do that. But she also didn't have any answers for us today. A lot of the questions she diverted to the FBI. Even when we know that she's been briefed by the FBI, she wasn't willing to comment on what she's been briefed. And so my questions really had to do with what things that she has direct control of, which is the mission, the standards, the protocols of the Secret Service. And she did admit that there was a failure in their mission. And it was likely because of operational or communication failures, but she won't give us any details.
That has to be very frustrating as a member of Congress, and this is a constitutional duty of Congress to have oversight of these federal agencies, and they come in, and I see this. I mean, you see it. I see it. They come in and they never answer questions. They refuse to answer these questions. I mean, how do you compel them to answer the questions that Congress needs answers so that they can do their job?
Yeah, Tony, I think until Congress starts flexing its muscles and using the power of the purse, doing things like implementing the Holman rule, which is a provision that allows us to zero out somebody's salary, eliminating the appropriations for people's security clearances once they've retired. Unless we start taking some actions on people who have abused their power, abused their position, I think we're going to continue to see blatant disregard for the rule of law and for any elected office holders.
I think you're absolutely right. The power that the Congress has is the power of the purse. They are the ones who approve the budget. They put the budget together. Obviously, the president signs it, but they're the ones that control it. And, I think these agencies, when they refuse to answer questions, you should start for every question not answered. Well, that's $50 million out of your budget, and just start, chipping away at their budgets. That'd be one way to reduce federal spending.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we rewarded the FBI with a new headquarters after all of this that they've done to the American people, to Catholics, to parents who protest at public school meetings, and how they spied on the president. But yet we rewarded them with the new FBI headquarters. Sadly, this Congress, unfortunately, this makeup is not interested in using its power of the purse to rein in the bureaucratic swamp here in D.C.
Congressman Burleson, she admitted that she was the agency failed and she was responsible, which, you know, I have to commend her for doing that. But as you pointed out, in previous cases, the Secret Service directors have resigned. There have been multiple calls for her to resign. She has said that she is not. Why do you think that is? Any indications from today's hearing?
Yeah, I think because she's working under the Biden administration. The other thing I'm wondering is she waiting for a particular time frame? Because she said that repeatedly she's been here 29 years. Well, maybe it's 30 years is the mark that she's looking for before she retires. I don't know what the answer is, but ultimately the Biden administration doesn't hold anybody accountable. In his administration, the inmates run the prison. And so why would she do anything? Because at the end of the day, she's not accountable to anyone. What's frustrating to me is she can say all these words like the buck stops here and that I take full responsibility, but those are just words. She's not actually taking responsibility and doing anything, you know, in response to this failure of the mission of her agency.
Now, there has been credible reports. There have been credible reports that the Trump detail repeatedly made requests for more resources that were denied. Now, this contradicts Director Cheadle's remarks. Any new information come forth about that today?
Yeah, I think she was trying to split hairs there. Whenever she was asked, she was specific to say that there was no request for that specific event on that day, that the Trump team had not made a request for that event. So what that suggests to me, and what we repeatedly try to get her to answer on, is that there have been previous requests, and at some point, the question is, the Trump team probably got sick of asking and being turned down. So there were clearly requests that have been made in the past that have been turned down. She's not willing to give us those specific events.
Congressman, I think tomorrow the Homeland Security Committee is also going to have a hearing. They're going to focus more on local law enforcement and the role that they played and what they saw. What we've seen from Director Cheadle is that she's kind of shifted some of the blame to local law enforcement. Did that come up in today's hearing?
I didn't recall her shifting that blame, but what's clear is local law enforcement is taking responsibility. They've done actually a press conference. She's not even done a press conference. Alejandro Mayorkas, who is her boss in the Department of Homeland Security, they've not done a press conference on this. The White House has not done a press conference. So local law enforcement, if anyone's taking responsibility and trying to be transparent, it's the local law enforcement.
Hmm. Congressman Burleson, always great to see you. Thanks so much for giving us a readout on today's hearing. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
And folks, once again, just a reminder that with all this going on, we need to be praying. We need to be voting, and we need to be standing for truth. And if you'd like to join us in our effort to pray, text the word PRAY to 67742. That's 67742. The word PRAY. And join us as we pray for our nation. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. There's so much uncertainty, so many things happening. And you know what? We need to be confident in this time. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more analysis of today's hearing after this.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Monday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And again, let me encourage you to download the Stand Firm app. You can take Washington Watch with you anywhere you go. Well, as we continue to examine the security failures that allowed a shooter to strike President Trump and kill an attendee at a Pennsylvania campaign rally, members of the House Homeland Security Committee traveled to the site of the assassination attempt earlier today, just as the House Oversight and Accountability Committee grilled U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. As more details emerge, what immediate changes are necessary for the U.S. Secret Service, and what did the American people learn today based on this hearing? Joining me now to discuss this is Tim Miller, founder and president of Lionheart International Services Group. He is a 30-year law enforcement and military professional who was a Secret Service agent assigned to the Washington field office, coordinating all aspects of security for the president, vice president, and foreign heads of states on a regular basis. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
Thank you for having me, Tony. It's an honor to be with you.
So we spoke last week as we, you know, were in the wake of the assassination attempt. And I said I wanted to get you back on after the hearing. There's going to be a series of hearings this week. But based on this one today in the House Oversight and Accountability Committee, what did the American people learn?
You know, Tony, I got to tell you, I don't think they learned anything new. Everything that was said, if it was said at all, was based on, you know, stuff already out there. I think there's been more analysis with all of the forensic evidence, the, you know, the cell phone cameras, all that being, you know, shared instantly on social media. And so the American people have a pretty good idea of generally what happened. Today, we were hoping and praying that the Secret Service director, who has said, look, buck stops with me, I'm responsible, that she would provide details on exactly what happened. Unfortunately, in my opinion, all we heard was, well, the FBI's got that, or I can't talk about that. And here's the problem. We need to restore the faith of the American people in the United States Secret Service. We don't want people going to rallies fearful, wondering if the security is in place, or, you know, so that they won't lose their lives or the lives of their families, as we saw last week.
Now, Tim, there were some facts that were shared in this hearing as a based on the questions that were asked regarding some of the stats with the Secret Service, the number of agents, how many details they are working. I mean, some of that shows that the ranks are getting kind of thin.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tony, because I got to tell you, it was a shock to me when she said, Director Cheadle said, that they have roughly 8,000, you know, slots filled for 9,500 positions. That's huge. 1,500 agents in a campaign year. That means that not everybody has to come home, repack, go back out if they get home at all. They're tired. They're working shift work. It's a big deal to staff the Secret Service the way it needs to be staffed. And quite frankly, without that, what you have is a bunch of tired folks that are coming off planes, getting into follow-ups, showing up. You can go into a zombie mode very quickly. Right. Ask me how I know.
Yeah.
You know, when that happens. And then when she said that the Secret Service since January has done more than 7,500 site advances, that's heavy lifting. Doing site surveys is not easy. You got to be game on. So this is very troubling for, you know, what we used to revere is probably the most, you know, premier law enforcement agency in the country.
Well, you know, Tim, having been a police officer on the street, not, you know, doing protection details, but I would think the protection details, you've got to be even more alert, especially when you're talking about the President of the United States. And after working, you know, 12 hours multiple days a week, you get a little tired. You kind of miss some things. I mean, that's just human nature. So there's some underlying problems here at the agency. I mean, you've been there. You've seen it. What do you think is driving this?
Well, you know, Tony, you and I know as Marines, leadership starts at the top. Leadership is something that when the leaders, the commanding officers and the layers below them have, you know, an outstanding commitment to the mission. There are no side agendas. It's all about being lean, mean, and ready to go. And, you know, we've kind of lost sight of that in the Secret Service. And that may work in corporate America to have certain classes of people there. The problem is you don't want just anybody around the president or the protectees of the United States Secret Service. You want the strongest, fastest, smartest. And let me say this. This is not a female bash because I've worked with females as a police officer, as a Marine, and as a Secret Service agent that were more than capable. But this idea of, well, we can only have one third of this or that, that's preposterous. You want the leaders of the free world protected by the best people available. Because if not, think about what would have happened last week had President Trump been assassinated. We wouldn't have fair and free elections. We would have a very tainted, very right, violent population. It's just, it would have been a mess.
Right, right. It goes way beyond one individual. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what he represents and what it would have done to the country. I mean, Tim, is this the, you know, the proverbial chickens coming home to roost, where we've been pursuing this woke ideology in our government, the DEI, that now we're seeing that this really doesn't work well?
I absolutely think it doesn't work well, and I think we're seeing this across law enforcement agencies. Most police agencies, as you know, Tony, haven't been an officer. They can't hire enough qualified people because between DEI and defund, police are discouraged. They're not sure if they can take action anymore. There are cameras everywhere. And let me tell you, I'm all about accountability. I'm all right about transparency. But this is crazy. We need warriors ready to fight
right
some of those people coming across the border.
And oftentimes the administrations do not back up those officers on the street. And so there's concern there as well. And I think that's probably a part of the attrition rate, why we're not seeing those ranks filled, people looking for positions that actually offer more of a future in terms of having support behind you and not risking your life, your family, and your well-being. Tim Miller, always great to see you. Thanks so much for sharing your insights on today's hearing.
It's an honor, Tony. Take care. We'll see you next time.
All right, Tim Miller. All right, another reason to pray. All right. So much to pray about. All right. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big news over the weekend. President Biden deciding yesterday to step aside. So what does that mean? What's the process? It's never happened before. We're going to talk about that next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Monday. The website is TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, if you've not yet downloaded the Stand Firm app, I encourage you to do that. Not only will you have Washington Watch, you'll have the daily Stand on the Word devotional and the news feed from the Washington Stand. You can find it in the App Store, Stand Firm. Well, following President Biden's announcement yesterday that he will step aside as his party's candidate for president, many leading Democrats coalesced immediately around Vice President Kamala Harris as their choice to lead the party's presidential ticket. Now, Democrat campaign donors followed suit as contributions poured in following weeks of anemic fundraising after President Biden's disastrous debate performance in June. Now, the campaign situation is unprecedented. This has not happened in modern presidential history. So what is the way forward? I mean, almost every move that they make is going to be subjected most likely to litigation. And how do they make it happen? Joining me now to discuss this is Phil Klein. He's the founder of the Amistad Project, and he's also associate professor at Liberty University School of Law and former attorney general of the state of Kansas. Professor Klein, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tony.
So let me start with this. When was the last time this happened?
Well, 1968 was the last time the Democratic Party had an opening convention. And I'm old enough to remember, and Tony, you might remember as well, that's when Lyndon Johnson decided not to pursue a second term as president of the United States, and the Democratic Party nominated Goldwater on the first ballot. The last contested convention is 1952. So it has been a while since there has been an open contested convention. I'm not sure if that's going to happen this time. As you mentioned, many of those who are rumored as potential candidates have already endorsed Vice President Harris. So I'm not sure how open that convention is actually going to be.
So let's talk a little bit about the legal issues. As President Biden already on the ballot, primaries in various states that were held, he received the proper amount of votes to receive the nomination. What happens from here?
Well, there are some state laws that might interfere with the Democrat Party's efforts to place somebody else out on the ticket. Laws dealing with timing. For example, the state of Ohio initially had a law that required the naming of the party's nominee prior to the Democratic convention. And what the Democratic Party was able to do is get Ohio legislators to pass an amendment to date that requirement after the convention. So there are a few laws relating to timing and names on the ballot, but I don't believe those will be much of an obstacle because generally, in the past, now that's changing somewhat, Tony, but in the past, our state legislatures believe that the parties ought to be able to control their own process to name their own nominees. And so state law is rather generous in that regard, and I believe it will continue to be. Now, campaign finance laws are a little bit different. Federal campaign finance laws, which just as a personal aside, I don't think do much. Money in politics is like water. It's going to flow and it's going to find a way to get to the candidate. But the Biden-Harris campaign is sitting on about $100 million cash in hand. And that money can flow without any interference to Kamala Harris as the nominee. If it is not Vice President Harris, then that money has to take a little detour. 30-some-odd million can go to the Democratic Party, which can coordinate this expenditure with the campaign. And then the remainder needs to flow through independent expenditures, so to speak, and not directly to that candidate. So there are some hurdles, but I believe the law will allow the Democratic Party to get around them.
So that sounds like an insurance policy for the vice president.
Well, certainly. It's a lot cleaner under the law for her direct receipt of that $100 million. Otherwise, it's not that steep of a hurdle. What would have to happen is it would flow to third parties, and technically they cannot coordinate with the campaign. So they can't sit down and design ads together. But they could expend all of that money, essentially in support right. of the Harris candidacy.
Well, clearly this is going to be, it already has been, and will be an extremely interesting election cycle. And you've been a part of this, you've seen it. Most of these are scripted. They're heavily choreographed. There's nothing that is happens that's not been designed. There's the unpredictable has been eliminated. So this could make for a very interesting Democratic convention. I mean, I'm certainly going to be watching it to see what happens.
It is going to be very interesting, and it's also going to be interesting to see how the Democrat Party deals with their enshrining President Biden as a hero of the left, essentially adopting his policies, when those policies are one of the reasons that he is behind President Trump. So how is the candidate of the Democrat Party going to deal with the identification of Biden as his legacy reflecting the Democrat Party and the need for it to continue when Americans are dealing with inflation and open borders and all of those concerns regarding those policies?
Well, I think they may double down. I mean, that's progressive politics. And I think you're going to see Kamala and team, whoever her running mate may be, going to be doubling down on those progressive policies that Biden put out there. Maybe to their demise? I don't know. They may just offer the American people more money. We'll see. Professor Klein, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, Phil Klein, former Attorney General of the state of Kansas, now at my alma mater, Liberty University. All right, when we come back, the global IT outage following a failed software update provided a painful wake-up as to the vulnerabilities worldwide when it comes to computers. No go, we're going to talk about it.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Well, folks, you know, one of the things we need to do, we talk about this often, pray, vote, stand. We need to be praying. We need to be prepared to vote. Vote for those candidates who most closely align with your values, with biblical truth. And then we need to stand. We need to stand for truth regardless what. Regardless of what happens, we need to stand for truth. Well, our word for today comes from Psalm 71. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. You know, this, I believe, is actually the heart of this psalm and the mission of the older generation. Listen again. Do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come, end quote. This is, unfortunately, not what we have today in a culture that worships youth. We have teenagers lecturing world leaders about global warming, while the gray-headed who carry God's warning to the next generation are silent or ignored if they do speak up. May the Holy Spirit empower the senior saints to boldly declare God's power to this generation. And by the way, here's an idea. Instead of drag queen story hour in our schools and libraries, we need silver-haired story hour. Why don't you try that on? To join us in our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. That's Bible to 67742. Last Friday, a flawed software update from the cybersecurity vendor CrowdStrike led to gridlock at airports, delays at 911 call centers, and chaos at hospitals unable to perform many routine surgeries. The worldwide fallout left many wondering how a single company's failure could lead to such a worldwide system collapse. Just how brittle is the world's digital infrastructure? And if an unintentional mistake could lead to such damage, what havoc could bad actors create with deliberate sabotage? Join me now to discuss this, Congressman Mike Collins. He serves on the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, and the Committee on Natural Resources. He represents Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Congressman Collins, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
I think, you know, this news has kind of gotten shoved away to the back with the news of President Biden stepping aside over the weekend. But, you know, I saw this very concerning. The shutdowns that occurred on Friday were unprecedented. What do we know so far?
Well, you know, Tony, I think you were hitting the nail on the head in so many different ways when you were going over your text and your Bible verse there. We have gotten away from an agenda of hard work, personal responsibility, even gotten away from hiring people that are qualified to work. And we've gone more towards an introspective, everything is about me. So you've got a lot of remote work going on now. And in particular, I think CrowdStrike is one of them, that they pride themselves more on being remotely working instead of working in an office among their peers. But we have seen time and time again, not just CrowdStrike, but with other industries that are more focused on DEI and ESG, therefore checking a box and trying to fill positions of something other than what they know or what their abilities are to do the job, and that's where you're seeing all these problems at. You know, it's whether it's CrowdStrike, whether it's the airline industries, the railroad industries, whether it's even the Secret Service. We have got to get back to hiring people that are qualified to do the job, and not this DEI to just fill some sort of social agenda that this administration has obviously been pushing.
Yeah, I think that clearly is coming to the forefront with the Secret Service. In fact, we were talking about that earlier in the program. When it impacts people and it's out front and they see it, hopefully they can connect the dots, or at least we'll help them do that. Now, these outages reportedly were not caused by a cyber attack. The CEO of CrowdStrike said, "Hey, it was a faulty update, so it was it that created this failure. Taking responsibility for it, apologize for it." But I mean, here's a question, Congressman Collins: how worried should we be that a single company's error could cause such chaos? And given the critical infrastructure that is influenced by this Microsoft, and this is what the update was for. I mean, what kind of oversight is provided? I mean, what if there was a bad actor that intentionally sabotaged an update to a software system?
No, I think you're exactly right. You know, when you have these big tech companies that have forged a monopoly on so much of our business aspect, that it is time that we take a hard look at just how vulnerable the business sector in general is, and how much reliability we have on just very few companies, if not in particular just one company, and how much that company, Microsoft, has over being able to just shut down our country at any given time. Because you're right, all it takes is one bad actor to come in and not just an update, but maybe sabotage an update.
Right, right.
And you cripple the country. Right. You've seen this. You take the airline industry, for instance. You know, this is the second time in less than 2 years that they have gone down for a long period of time. And you can't sustain that over and over and over again. You're going to see a lot of balance sheets that are not going to look too good when their quarterly earnings come out.
Right. Well, and you think of the complications that creates for Americans. You serve on the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, which has oversight of this sector. What do you think the role of Congress will be, in particular your committee, following this episode?
Sure. Well, we need to bring in the appropriate people from these industries, as well as the government agencies that oversee them. And drill down and find out exactly what happened. So many times, I mean, a company is not going to—they're going to tell you what they want you to know, or anything that they think they can skirt by without actually giving you facts that make them look bad. So what we need to do is make sure that we do our oversight part of our job up here, put it simply, and bring these people in and find out what exactly did happen. Because you're right, it's kind of been swept under the rug here. with the Biden news especially.
Congressman Collins, now that's obviously a role of Congress, oversight, but it's also oversight of executive agencies which have oversight directly of these national security. I mean, this is a national security issue, I would think. So what briefings or information have you received from the Biden administration thus far on what occurred on Friday?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we haven't received anything other than what we've seen on the news ourselves, which has been very little other than the fact that it was just an upgrade, botched upgrade. And hopefully they've got the patch in to get it fixed. And what we're seeing now are ripple effects throughout the various industries, especially in the transportation sector.
I want to switch gears for just a moment. Hopefully we'll have it. We'll have some oversight hearings. We'll find out more about this because I don't want to be redundant, but while this could have been an innocent mistake, and mistakes happen, we're human beings, I think this exposes a vulnerability that needs to be looked at very carefully, because if this was intentional, it could have been much more malicious in its effect if it were intentional. Let's talk politics now. With that announcement you made reference to, kind of taking the headlines with President Biden stepping aside, Kamala Harris now appearing to be the candidate the Democrats are going to push forward. How do you see that shaking out politically going into the fall's election?
Well, you know, I think there's so many more questions than what we're getting answers to in the first place. Let's unpack this thing. If Joe Biden is unfit to run for reelection, then how is he fit to serve the country? That's the number one thing. I mean, we haven't seen President Biden since sometime last week when he said he had COVID. Now, that's just the first part. The second part is, what do they do with the 14 million people that voted for him? You know, are you going to let like 0.003% of the Democrat Party pick the nominee to run against President Trump and J.D. Vance? That certainly isolates and you know, pretty much I think it stands to show just what the Democrat Party is about. And it's about control. If Joe Biden was not losing in the polls, they would have propped this guy up until after November and propped him up to whenever they had to. So it shows you that he's not really running the country. He hasn't been. And so there's a lot of answers that really the American people deserve.
Well, some of those answers we may never get. Congressman Collins, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Well, I appreciate it, Tony. One thing for certain, though, it's not going to change how Trump or the Republicans, how we're going to run this race. This race is not about Joe Biden. He is the problem. He presented the problem. He is just the messenger. The message that this socialistic agenda that they have been pushing on the American people, that's what we've got to fight against. That's what we got to continue to push out there. We're going to keep the pedal to the metal, and we are going to keep hammering that message home to make sure that people get out and vote. They understand a lot of what the issues are. We just need to make sure that they go vote. They do that, we'll win this election, and we'll get our country back on track.
Pray, vote, stand. Mike Collins, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And folks, that's what it comes down to. Pray, vote, stand. And I want to take a few minutes I got left here to talk about pray. All right. I just want to kind of paint the picture here. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, because we're not to operate out of a spirit of fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. But we're in a very vulnerable position right now as a nation. When you think about it, as Congressman Collins was talking about, we saw this on full display during the debate between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. Questions have only increased over his ability to lead the country. This is July. The election doesn't take place until November. And then a new administration doesn't come in until almost the end of January. What happens between now and then? America, I believe, is vulnerable from a national security standpoint. I mean, look at all the things that are occurring. Right? Look at all of the things that are occurring collectively. Just look at them and you see how turbulent and uncertain the times are. Now, when you add to that even the spiritual side of things, which I actually think the physical, what we see is a manifestation of what's happening in the spiritual realm, this is a time that we need to be praying. We need the spiritual leaders of our nation to step forward and not pray for a particular candidate. I'm not going to ask you to pray for a particular candidate. I'm going to ask you to pray for the nation, that God would bring forth a resolution to our present situation that would bring our nation in alignment with His truth. Therefore, His hand of protection might be upon us once again, because we're in a very vulnerable state. And as a result of America being vulnerable, many of our allies are vulnerable. Israel, look what's happening there. This war continues, and it's expanding. In fact, I'm going to be meeting with the Prime Minister tomorrow. He's going to be in D.C. for some meetings. He's going to be speaking to Congress on Wednesday. And we need to be praying for our ally in Israel, praying for God's hand upon that nation. And I'm praying that God would manifest Himself in such a way on their behalf that the whole world would know that there is a God. We need to be praying that Christians would have great discernment during this time, because you're hearing a lot of stuff, and I'm talking about both sides of the political aisle. We need discernment to know truth and untruth. And you know how we do that? We evaluate it according to God's truth, to the Word of God, which is truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And we need to be in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons we've been doing this journey through the Word for the last few years, because Christians, during these times of great deception, and they've been upon us for years, but they're intensifying, and they will continue to intensify, according to Scripture, we need to have great discernment during this time of deception, deceit. And this will provide you peace, joy in the midst of the uncertainty. And it's a great opportunity for the church, because as church, I say church, I mean followers of Christ who are abiding in Christ, because, you know, people will be looking for answers. And you have them. You have them as a follower of Christ. So pray. Vote. Vote for men and women who most closely align with biblical truth. And I'm going to tell you this, there'll be some occasions where you'll get pretty close, especially when you get down to the state and local elections. And those elections matter just as much, because it's really the states where a lot is happening. So be sure to be informed about the candidates and be voting. And then the other thing, you have to make a absolute commitment that you're going to stand for truth regardless of where your party goes, regardless of, you know, where your community goes or your country even. We have to be committed to standing for biblical truth as a testimony to that truth, regardless of what occurs. So I'm going to challenge you. Join us in praying. Text the word PRAY to 67742 and join us in this effort to pray for our nation in these turbulent, uncertain times. Text PRAYER to 67742. All right, out of time for today, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've taken your position, you've taken your stand, well, by all means, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.